many churches throughout the Roman Empire. One of the churches he planted was in the city of Philippi. And a couple of years after he planted that congregation, he wrote them a letter. And what's cool is we have a copy of that letter in our Bibles. We call it today the book of Philippians. And the reason that Paul wrote this letter was because the Philippians sent him a gift, a monetary gift, in a very hard time, a time of need for the Apostle Paul. You see, he was imprisoned in Rome. So he writes this letter, and in this letter, he shares a lot of different things like he normally does. Theological things, he's encouraging them to stand strong in their faith, so on and so forth. But at its core, this is a letter that really is a thank you card. He's simply saying, thank you for sending me this gift. With that understanding as a little bit of a background, if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and just turn quickly with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 10 through 13. Let's put them up on the overhead if we could, please. He says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him, that is Jesus, who gives me strength. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that your word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is why we can rejoice with our children in worshiping you, because you are real, you are alive, you are seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would give us wisdom into your word. Deep wisdom. Lord, that we wouldn't just hear these words, but these words would change us. So, Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Paul starts out here in verse 10, telling the Philippians how happy he is, how overjoyed he is that they remembered him in his time of need. Now, there's a couple of things that we learn from this one short verse. The first thing is, it seems that the Philippian church normally gave to Paul and his ministry. We here at Emmanuel Assembly of God have many missionaries that we support monthly. It seems that the Philippian church was doing the same thing with the Apostle Paul, but recently, for whatever reason, and we don't know the reason, but for whatever reason, they were not able to send what they normally sent to help support him in his ministry. So Paul's excited. He's happy. He's overjoyed that they're finally in a position to help him out again. Now, here's the thing. I don't think he was overjoyed and happy because he received the gift. If you read later on through the end of Philippians chapter 4, you're going to find that he was actually overjoyed and happy and excited because when they gave, God was going to bless them. Paul, in essence, was happy that God was going to bless the Philippians. He was overjoyed that they were going to receive a blessing because they gave to him. Either way, Paul is overjoyed. He then kind of switches gears a little bit. At least that's what it seems in verse 11, he goes on to say, I don't need your gift. Now, he doesn't say it in those words, but that's really what he's saying. And to me, if you're going to write a thank you card, that's probably not the way you want to go about it. It almost speaks of an arrogance. It speaks of a pride. Oh, you gave to me, finally, but I didn't really need it anyway. Is that where Paul is coming from here? And the answer is pretty clear, absolutely not. You see, while Paul was in prison, and let's be honest, the years even leading up to that, he was learning something. The Lord was teaching him something. And he was now going to take the opportunity to teach the Philippians the same thing. He was learning to be content in whatever situation he found himself in. Well-fed, hungry, rich, poor, free, or in prison. God was teaching him contentment, which means Paul probably always was not content. But God was teaching him contentment. So a question that I would want to ask is, how did God teach him to be content? And I think the answer is Paul had to go through some really hard times. And as he was going through those hard times, he realized that the source of his contentment, the secret to his contentment, was Jesus himself. So whether he's imprisoned or he's free, whether he's preaching in a city or he's running for his life because they're going to stone him to death, whether he's rich, poor, whether he's well-fed or hungry, he knew Jesus. And because he knew Jesus, he received strength in the midst of those tough times, and he's learning contentment. He's learning that it's okay because he knew Christ, and he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. That's the secret of his contentment. That's the secret of Paul's power. That's the secret of his perseverance. This is why the man never gave up. He's stoned and left for dead. He gets up, he keeps going. He's persecuted. He goes through shipwrecks. They throw him in prison. He didn't quit. Why? Because Jesus. That's it. Because Jesus. He found his strength. He found his solace in Jesus. And speaking of Jesus, it's the Christmas season, right? Christmas 2016. And Saturday morning, which I guess would have been yesterday morning, I was reading these scriptures. And I thought of Jesus and how he kind of fit into these verses that we just read. Jesus had everything in heaven, right? He's God, the Son. He's receiving all praise, all worship, all glory is his, all honor is his. Angels are worshiping him. He is all powerful. Things are good in heaven. It's a good place to be. Well, Jesus decided to come to earth in the form of a baby boy. And that in and of itself is kind of a ridiculous thought. God becomes man? What? God's not a man. And yet Jesus did it anyway. He comes to earth as a baby. And not only did he have to deal with human stuff now, which he never had to deal with before, pain, loss. When Jesus is on the cross, you read of his mother, Mary, but you don't read of his stepfather, Joseph, do you? Most people believe that he had died in the interim. So now Jesus is losing his stepfather, not to mention the accusations that were hurled at him by the people he loved. He was arrested by the people he loved. He was punched in the face, had his beard ripped from his face, endured a crown of thorns from the people he loved, and eventually was whipped this close to death by the people he loved, and then he was crucified by the people he loved. Yeah, earth isn't heaven, is it? No. He gave it all up, and he came to earth, and when he was on earth, he suffered. And especially on the cross, he probably suffered in ways that it's very hard to identify with as people. How was Jesus strengthened through all of that? And to me, this is why the story of Jesus is kind of a cool illustration of what Paul is saying in Philippians. Jesus found his strength. He found his solace. He found his power in the presence of his Father. Think about how often the scriptures teach that Jesus went off to lonely places by himself to recharge his batteries. Who was he recharging his batteries with? His Father in heaven. He'd go for wisdom. He'd go for guidance. He'd go for strength. Remember, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night that he's betrayed. Judas is leading a band with clubs. And who's he there with? He's there with his father. I think it's a neat illustration, the life of Christ coming from heaven to earth and the suffering that he went through, the tough times that he went through, of what Paul is saying in Philippians. Paul went through it as well, but he knew Jesus. And because he knew Jesus, he received strength. And that strength helped him to be content in the midst of anything that he came up against. So I think it's pretty simple for us. In this world, we will have trouble. Can anybody identify with that? Even just a little bit? You've been there before, haven't you? Some of you are there right now in ways that I can't understand. Maybe in ways that others can't understand. But Jesus is there as well. And it is through the grace of Jesus Christ that we receive that strength to get through. It's by the power of the Spirit who lives in us that we are able to get through, not only survive, but to thrive in the midst of it. By the way, this is not a denial of reality. Jesus never denied reality. Paul never denied reality. He wasn't laying there on the ground, stoned half to death, saying, oh, they didn't just stone me. If I have enough faith, those stones are going to go away. No, he was stoned. He's dying on the ground. But Jesus was his strength. And so we can confidently say, along with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And we can say that in Christ, regardless of what comes our way, we can have contentment. Because we know that contentment does not come from the money. It doesn't come from the position. It doesn't come from the power. It doesn't come from anything like that. It comes from Jesus. So I want to encourage you this Christmas season. Look to Christ. Look to Christ. Grow in your relationship with him. Because from him comes the strength that you need day to day. From him comes the solace in times of loss. He loves you so very much. This is Jesus, and this is who we are in him. Amen. Can we stand together? Go ahead and take someone's hand next to you here this morning, please. Father, in this world, we will have trouble. But you say to be of good cheer because you've overcome the world. And we see here in the book of Philippians 4 that Paul learned the secret to contentment. I think he learned the secret in what it is that will help him live this life. And the secret, Lord, is you. It's you, Jesus. My hope and my prayer for every one of us in here today, our families, those who cannot be here, those who are dealing with sickness or loss or financial burdens, whatever it might be, Lord, that we would fix our eyes upon you. You are our rock. You are our salvation. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Strengthen us, Father. Strengthen us by the very grace of Christ Jesus, the very power of the Spirit, and help us to grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, that we would know you better. And Father, I'm also reminded that Jesus was born not just for Emmanuel Assembly of God, but he came to this earth for the nations. And I pray, as we get ready to go into 2017, that you would use this congregation, and not just Emmanuel, but all of those who name the name of Jesus, you would use us to be the light of the world. That those who don't know you would come to know you and realize that their salvation, their strength, is in Jesus. So, Father, lead us. Guide us by your Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you all. If I don't see you Sunday, have a Merry Christmas and a great holiday with family and friends.